Good morning and welcome to worship here at First Presbyterian Church in Walnut Ridge. It's a joy to know that there are people all over the place, different states, maybe different countries in the world, who are joining us in worship right now. How cool is that? One of the wonders of technology. I hope you had a great week and that you had a wonderful Easter. We had a special Easter sunrise yoga session and had like a dozen people pop in from five different states. That was really awesome. If you missed that and wanted to participate in it, just go to our website, fpcwalnutridge.org, and click on the yoga link on the navigation bar. That should take you to a spot where you can find it. Again, it was a great joy to meet with people from all over the place and getting comments from people from around the country on Sunday worship's a neat experience. It reminds us that we are a big, broad body of Christ, a broad family, and that we're in all of this together, though we may feel alone at times. And we never really are alone, are we? As I light these candles, speaking of that, I light them as a reminder that Christ's presence is always with us. We truly are never alone. And it may feel that way sometimes, but it's not true. And if you're really feeling that way heavily, I would encourage you to reach out to us and share any prayer concerns that you have so that we can be praying for you and with you around anything going on in your life right now. As we begin to prepare our hearts to worship God, let's just take a big collective breath together and let go of everything that's been going on this week. Just a nice big inhale with me. Let go of the stress. You can just feel it melt out of you. And as that stress melts out of you, my prayer is you feel the Holy Spirit entering into you and preparing you to receive God's word and to respond to it with joy. That's what we're here for. So let's center ourselves as we listen now to a prelude. Join me in the call to worship, which you'll find on your screen. Blessed be the God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given us a new birth in the living hope of the resurrection. God has given us an inheritance that is imperishable and unfading. In this we rejoice, even when we suffer trials. For although we have not seen Jesus, we love him, and although we have not seen him, we believe in him. For the outcome of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Please join me in singing our opening hymn this morning. things that stands between us and God is our sin, and it can cloud our ability to see and experience Him. So it is right and good for us to collectively take a moment and confess our sin before God, to kind of push that out of the way so that we can listen to Him with hearts that are pure. To that end, I invite you to join me in the prayer of confession, saying, God, you have made known to us the ways of life. Yet too often we put other things above you and turn away from the ways of life and toward the ways of death. Forgive us and guide us back into your presence that we may know the fullness of joy. And Lord, now hear our silent prayers of confession to you. Amen. God is our refuge and will not abandon us. In Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. That is a promise of peace and joy. Share that peace with one another. For in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and given eternal life. Amen. Let's respond to God's goodness as we sing together the Gloria Patri. Let us now together affirm what we believe using the Apostles' Creed, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, before we look at God's word, let's take a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we want to learn and grow from reading and hearing your word. And we can do that just by applying our intellect to it to some degree. But if we really want to understand it, we need the Holy Spirit to illuminate it in our hearts and our minds. And we need to live in a way where we're applying it, because it's really in the doing that the knowing comes. So we pray that we understand this with clarity today, enough to where we can apply it. And also, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, it would be moving within my mind as I am trying to interpret this, so that I interpret it rightly, and I preach in it a way so that others understand it. Bless us in this endeavor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Psalm 16. I would invite you, if you happen to have a Bible at home, to follow along. Not listen closely as we hear God's holy word. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you did not give me up to Sheol or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And also this morning, we're reading from the Gospel of John, 20th chapter, beginning in the 19th verse. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, all righty. Bring this out here with me because there's a couple passages I want to share that are related to this in just a moment. Today, here's where we're headed. We're going to plow into the secret of experiencing God's peace in the middle of difficult circumstance. And we're going to get at that through looking at what I call the everyday miracle that happens in today's passage, the everyday miracle. So let's dive in. I mentioned difficult circumstance, and let's face it, the disciples, they were in about as difficult a circumstance as you could imagine, short of them being arrested the way Jesus was and facing crucifixion. They had lost Jesus, which I'm sure had to take everything in their world and turn it upside down, because it looked like Jesus was rising in fame and in power and an influence with the people, and suddenly they've lost everything, right? They've lost not only their relationship with him, but also this feeling and sense that everything was headed in some powerful, amazing direction. To me, this passage is like this destructive detour where they've gone from, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" They're so excited. They're so anticipating what's going to happen. It's obvious God's doing something amazing. And now it's turned from are we there yet to where in the world are we? Are we going to get anywhere? Because they have been detoured in a way that they never expected, and now they're in a wilderness, lost, and have no idea how to get out of it. They have literally, out of fear, locked themselves into a room to keep themselves safe, and they've got to be feeling every imaginable emotion. Fear, because they have been told, in fact, we're told they're fearful, but they've been told that the Jewish authorities, if anybody's associating with Jesus, the Jewish authorities, we're going to cut you off from the synagogue. They have got to be saying, well, if this happened to Jesus, what about us? And they have to be asking themselves, now that he's gone and that's who we were following, what about us? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And in the middle of that, they have to be doing that under the weight of grief that had to have them just bowed over to a point where they could barely move. So that's where they are. They're in this terrible circumstance. And while in the midst of that, Jesus does what I'm going to call the everyday miracle. And I'll explain what that is. But first, I've mentioned the word circumstance a couple times. It doesn't show up in the chapter, but there's all kinds of circumstance around them, right? Like imagine them in the middle of a bunch of things surrounding them, because that's what the word circumstance means. Circum comes from the word like circle. It's from the root circle or circumference or circus. It means something round or around. Stance. What's that sound like? Standing, taking a stance. Circumstance are the things standing around this. And you can imagine the disciples standing there, and around them is fear of the authorities, fear that their community is going to revile and reject them as they did Jesus, grief, insecurity about the future. All kinds of things are surrounding them, and literally there are walls surrounding them that they have locked. And here's where the everyday miracle comes in, and that is, despite all this stuff surrounding them, Jesus, miraculously, we don't know how, it doesn't make any sense. He shouldn't be able to just waltz in there, but Jesus suddenly appears in the middle of them. All their circumstances out here, and Jesus appears right in the middle of them. And I call that the everyday miracle, because I think that's what God does all the time. He's behaving in that moment the way God behaves all the time. He doesn't come in our daily lives and say, "Hey, you know what? Listen, I'm going to take care of this piece of your circumstance. I'm going to dispose of that. I'm going to rescue you from this." I mean, sometimes God does that. Sometimes God intervenes in bold and amazing ways, and a circumstance does change. But oftentimes, and biblically, what we see again and again, we'll look at two examples here in a moment. Biblically, what we see again and again is that God, instead, he steps right into the middle and he says, "I'm going to be with you in that." And this is where the secret of God's peace comes from. The secret of God's peace is this. Guess what? It's not a secret. It's not hidden. He hands it to us. He bestows it upon it. He walks into the room and says, "I'm giving you peace. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to figure out some magic formula to get to it. I am giving you peace. I am that peace, and I am entering into your circumstance, and I'm there with you." That's the everyday miracle that God does all the time. And you know, it simultaneously is very comforting to me, and it also kind of infuriates me. And here's why I say that. I feel like God is treating us, as Easter people, he treats us as expecting us to be spiritual adults. And what I mean by that is, a kid, when they don't get things the way they want, A kid throws himself on the ground and throws a temper tantrum. They kick their feet, they scream, they cry, they fight for it. They behave badly to get what they want. An adult, hopefully we don't do that, right? Hopefully we respond responsibly to difficult circumstance. And I feel like what God does for us is we're sitting there and something goes wrong. Something can go horribly wrong. And I'm not trying to minimize the tragedies of life, but something goes wrong. And we want to go, God, you don't understand how much that person hurt me and how angry I am. Or God, you don't get how afraid I am and how scared I am. God, you don't understand how broken my heart is and how deeply I'm grieving. As God looks at us and in the middle of our circumstance says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And that word peace in the biblical sense, we don't use the word peace a lot. We don't walk up to somebody, hey, peace to you. Peace be with you. We do it maybe on a Sunday morning in some churches where it's kind of a greeting. We'll almost ritualistically go around, peace with you, peace be with you. Hey, peace, you know. but we don't use it conversationally. Biblically, particularly its Old Testament roots, that peace, shalom, is like, it's a deep abiding sense of security. It's not just lack of conflict. You know, you can have lack of conflict and not have peace. If you don't believe that, you've never been in a relationship for any length of time, because anybody that's been in a relationship for a length of time has had one of those situations where something's definitely not right in the relationship. Somebody's definitely mad or definitely hurt, and you may not be openly fighting, but there is no peace, right? There's this really awkward, ugly, painful silence laced with fear of, what do I say? What have I done? You know, that kind of thing. That is not peace, though there's no obvious conflict. No, peace in a biblical sense, it is a abiding sense of security at every level of our well-being. Mind, emotion, spirit, body, we know we're secure. And God expects us to believe that he's God. He's going to do what he said he would do. He's done what he said he would do. And he's going to continue to do what he says he will do, right? God, the creator of the cosmos, the creator of you and me, when we want to throw ourselves on the ground, or we want to ball up in fear or grief or anger, And he steps in and he says through his word to us, peace be with you. Like he said to Thomas, don't doubt. Believe. God calls us to do that in the middle of what we're going through. When he does that, it's kind of like when we say, you don't get it, God. I just imagine God, if we could hear him audibly in that moment, he would say, yes, I do understand. I do get how afraid you are. I do get how hurt you are. And yeah, that was wrong. And yeah, what you're going through is bad. I do get it, because you know what? I have been with you from the very moment your tiny little head poked its way into this world. And even before that, I was with you. I made you. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I understand, because I know what it hurts like. I lost my son, and I lost my son in a tragic, horrific way. I know what injustice feels like, because I came and I walked among you, and I tried to love you. I did love you. I didn't just try. I did love you with everything I have. And I was rejected, and I was spit upon, and I was beaten, and I was crucified. I do get it. But I'm here to tell you, my grace is sufficient for you. That at the end of the day, all these things around you, you do not have to fear or be caught up in being driven by them, because I'm in the middle of them. And I want to show you from two other scriptures exactly where God, I think, repeats that through his word, through the voice of somebody who I think really got it. And that's Paul. And then we'll kind of wrap this up. First, let's look at Philippians. In Philippians, we're in the fourth chapter looking at verse 11. Paul wrote this, and you gotta remember, Paul was a guy who he had it all at one point. He had been taught by one of the most gifted and well-known rabbis. He was from a family of influence. He was a Jew among Jews. He was like an A-list persona in the Jewish community, and he lost it all. He went from that to imprisoned, beaten, snake bit, shackled, shipwrecked. Okay, he's been through it all. And this is what he says on the other side of that. Not that I'm referring to being in need, for I've learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. And in mark that word, in any and all circumstances, those things standing around him, I have learned the secret of being well fed and going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The two things I want you to note in that are, I put emphasis on, one is in any and all circumstances. He doesn't say once all circumstances have been worked out, once I got the other side of hungry, once I got the other side of lacking and privation. No, he says in any circumstance through him, because that's the thing. Jesus is right there in the middle, not standing out on the side, hovering over, watching on. He's there in the middle. Listen how this gets repeated in Romans. This is Romans chapter 8, beginning in the 35th verse. I'm going to go down to verse 39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship? And as I read this, I want you to imagine a circle, and that circle is made up of these figures standing around you in the middle of it, all right? They're all standing around you. And each one of these things I list, think of them as one of those figures, the circumstance. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You hear that repetition of concept and words that we heard in Philippians? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It cannot separate us, because that wall, that barrier of circumstance, while it is around us, God is not out here hovering over, looking on, disinterested. No, God every day does the everyday miracle, and he goes, you'll not understand how or why I do this, but I'm stepping in and I'm being where with that. And through me, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. You'll have what you need. And I want to wrap up today with a little song that I heard when I was a missionary in Alaska long, long ago. Between college and going off to seminary, I spent a summer up in Alaska, and I ran around for several months bringing Vacation Bible School to kids, doing whatever ministry we could do there. I had hardly traveled outside of Missouri. I was a little Missouri suburb kid who hadn't been out on my own very far. And suddenly I found myself looking up in Alaska between my training and going into the field and going, well, where am I? You know, like, what am I doing here? And the peace of God washing over me. It was the first time I really consciously remember that peace that surpasses all understanding, very tangible way washing over me. And during that summer, right before that, we had learned this little song. We'd sing it with kids. And it's one of those songs where you take a word and you keep changing it and re-singing the same thing with a new word at the core of it. And it goes like this. Like, we might start with love. Love, 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 just a little more love. Love, 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 just a little more love. You don't need a lot. Just use what you got. love, 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 just a little more love. And then one we would always include in there is peace, 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 just a little more peace. Peace, 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 just a little more peace. You don't need a lot, just use what you got. Peace, 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 just a little more peace. We also throw in there a good old King James Version, long suffering, long suffering, long suffering, just to mess with the kids. But, all right, here's what I want to say to you to wrap this up. Peace, peace, peace. You don't need a lot. You have enough. If there's nothing else I've learned this whole year is God is great about bringing enough. We've had kind of a hard year this year as we moved and went, well, it's been about a year and a half ago that we moved, but this past year, 2019, was a tough year of experiencing health issues and loss and hard finances because we've been saddled with two mortgages. And here, if there's nothing else I've learned, and I'm maybe finally settling in this, or I'm hoping I'm seeing some adulthood here of maturity of faith to be able to say, okay, God, I get it. I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to believe you are who you say you are, and you're going to do what you say you can do, because I've seen it on Easter, and I've seen it time and time again this last year, and that is you're with me in the circumstance, and you bring enough. I don't need a lot. I just got to use what I got. And all the peace I need, you have given. The peace you have given me is enough. The grace you have given me is sufficient for all things. Friends, I want you to believe that today as an Easter people who have witnessed the resurrection. The grace God has given you, it's enough. And in all circumstance, through him, you will not only know the God of peace, you'll know the peace of God. And that's really the secret. It's knowing the God of peace, believing, having a relationship, knowing God well enough to believe that he is sufficient. When we know that well enough, then we not only know the God of peace, that's when we know the peace of God. Blessings to you. May you feel at the core of your being that you have enough, for that is the truth. Amen. And you know, somebody give me an amen out there. Like, I know you can't do it right now, but you can say an amen sitting at home. You could put it in the comments below. Text me if you know my phone number. Say, amen. I give you an amen, John, to that truth that God is enough. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are enough and your grace is sufficient for us. And for that, we are joyful this morning. Because circumstance right now it stinks. It's a hard time in life right now. And it's extra hard for some people who are facing health crises and financial crises. It's a hard time being separated from one another. But there's nothing that can separate us from the love of you. And that's awesome, because at the end of the day, what you have assured us is that you have given us an invitation to this table that is behind me, the table of your kingdom, if you will, that we have a seat at your table someday. You've like reserved it and it's sitting there waiting for us, and all these other things will pass away, and we will find us in a place someday where every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, that, if you will, that he is enough, that his grace is sufficient. And it will be a place where not a tear will be shed. There will be no more grieving. There will be no fear. In a way, there will be no circumstance that is a bad circumstance that seeks to divide us from you. Our circumstance will be reveling in your love and your grace and your glory. What a wondrous gift is that. So as Easter people this morning, aware of the resurrection, we give you thanks and praise. We honor you, Lord. We love you. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would wash over us and bring the truth of your promises to bear upon every fiber of our being so that we would never doubt, but we would believe. God, whatever circumstance we have right now, in prayer right now, we're going to look at it, God. I want us all to just imagine we're standing in the middle of that circle and we're turning and we're looking at each one of those things right now that's a fear, a hurt, a grief, a shame, whatever it is that's trying to separate us from you, oh God. We look at that today in prayer and we say, I choose peace. And we pause, God, and ask for that to settle upon us. Thank you, Lord, for hearing all our prayers. Lastly, God, as a family of believers, we come before you and we pray words that your Son taught his disciples to pray. We pray saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, well, friends, I'm excited now after having preached that. I'm pumped up. I hope you are, and you're feeling the joy of what God's promised us. Normally at this time in worship, we would be taking up an offering. There would be ushers here who'd come down through the aisle with a couple plates like that, and people would put their gifts in, and we'd bring them up, and we'd thank God for them. And I want to encourage you that if normally you attend some other church and right now you're not able to, that you would take some time to look up their address, send them a gift, or set up through your banking a gift going to them electronically, but to continue to support their ministry. If you are a member here, first off, I want to thank many folks. I went by post office this week and found that many of you sent gifts to continue to support the ministry of the church here. I thank you. And if you're visiting with us and this has been a blessing to you and you do want to support the ministry of what goes on here at First Presbyterian Church, you can send a check to P.O. Box 214 in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas, 72476. And that gift will be used to bring forward preaching like this. We do children's ministry, and we have a ministry that typically happens on Tuesday nights where I teach yoga to help people in mind, body, and spirit, and many other things that we do here. So I would encourage you to do that, and I thank you ahead of time if you do. Now, that said, let's go to God in prayer so we do feel his presence with us. Holy God, do bless the gifts that we give that they might go forward and touch people's lives. Bless the folks who are out there who are struggling right now, that they will find through the generosity of others enough. We thank you, God, for being a God who blesses us both in ways that are seen and unseen. You are a good God, and we love you, O Lord. In Christ's name, we offer all that we give in time, talent, and tithe. Amen. I invite you now to sing as we sing our closing hymn. Once again, thank you so much for worshiping with you. I want to extend to you a charge using the words that Jesus used talking to Thomas. He said, do not doubt, but believe. And as you do so, I encourage you to go forth in whatever circumstances surrounding you to look it square in the face and say, I choose today to have peace. I choose peace. And as you do so, may the peace of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ abide upon you abundantly now and forever. Amen.